Welcome to Just the Convo. Today's episode is special in the sense that it is actually part two of an ongoing conversation about sex work, prostitution, and more. I decided to split this conversation into two episodes because of how much we covered and the actual length of it. And so with that said, if you haven't already, please go back to episode 13 and listen to the first part. And after that, you're more than welcome back to continue it here. And so, sorry to keep you waiting. Enjoy part 2 of episode 13 with Malcolm Lovejoy. Right, and do you believe there's a difference between the term sex worker and prostitute?
There are, and I can just say, people, everyone has their own different comfort for what they want to call themselves.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's a lot, some of it goes with the times and the eras that we live in. Like 100 years ago, most people were called prostitutes. But, you know, nowadays it's just more sex worker is what people call. But like, some people still like to call themselves courtesan or, you know, I came up, some people have been coming up with their own names and stuff, which is pretty cool because, you know, we live in this very gender fluid, non-binary, very, very human identity invention realm now. And I like to call myself a professional lovemaker. So not many people, I don't see anybody really use that term, but I like to think of myself as a professional lovemaker because it can be love, it can be sex. I've been writing for a polyamory blog for 8 years. Like it can just be emotional and or physical or BDSM, and I tie all of that into love. So
yeah, and I just came to think about a controversial figure person here in Sweden who recently, a few months back, I think it's 2-3 months back, he's done a lot of straight up criminal things through his life, but he's always worked his way back into success, financial success. But regardless of that, he recently got caught because prostitution in Sweden is illegal for the person purchasing, but it's legal for the prostitute to receive the money. So basically this person got caught paying a prostitute for the services that she provided, and his entire business, his entire reputation, everything, family, friends, his girlfriend at the time, and also at the time kids, completely disregarded him. They dismissed him as this horrible, horrible human being. And the media, I mean, you can't even imagine what the media did to him. Like, basically, they completely slandered him. And while I'm sure there can be a lot of problems with like prostitution rings when they are abused, that's obviously a problem. But yeah, that's not 100% of sex workers. Of course not. And well, of course, also in a country like Sweden where it's illegal, it kind of by definition becomes, or it can at least very easily become abuse, or people are used for these providing these services. But I don't really know where I'm going with this. But
I'm glad you told me this story about that. Who is the person?
Paolo Roberto.
Okay, yeah, I love to hear about these stories in history because just internationally, I wish all very other cultures would learn things from other cultures, but I find a lot of people are very insular. But I want to research that because that doesn't make sense. Like, and you were saying he's done other criminal things in his life, but they let him back and accepted him back into society, except he does something, like he gets caught having, like, did the sex worker say he did a bunch of bad stuff, or was it just a regular sex worker transaction? Like,
well, basically, the police did a raid at this apartment that the services were being provided, And so he got caught in the act. And so caught by the police, and eventually the media found out, and there was never a conversation about what kind of service was being provided, but everyone's assumption, including everyone hearing about it and also the media, the assumption were that obviously it's sex. And I don't know, maybe that's true, I don't know, but even then, there was never a conversation about, is it okay, is it not? It's just, people assume that it's not okay.
Oh my goodness. And so he's been just ostracized by society,
absolutely. And I still follow him. I'm a big fan because he has done some questionable things through his life, I still am a huge fan of, because he talks a lot about fitness and staying motivated and working towards what you want to achieve. And so that's why I'm a huge fan of what he does. And since he has reached the top and then been cast down to the bottom and then gotten to the top again and then repeat twice, thrice, and four times over, that's why I'm a big fan of him. But yeah, so right now he is still kind of gotten back to something. He has gotten some of his companies back, and I can see on his Instagram that he does have contact with at least his son. I don't know about the daughter. But the girlfriend at the time is completely out of the picture. And
Oh, wow. Wow. I thank you for letting me know about him. I would like to research. And I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm out to everybody. That's another blessing. Like, I know most of the women that I know, and some of the men that I know hide the fact that they do sex work. Many of the women I know, well over half, probably three quarters, are like, my parents don't know, my family doesn't know. And they have, you know, they have a different name online. They never show their face in a lot of their pictures. They, you know, they have protocol and boundaries to respect. And I 100% honor and respect. I would never reveal anybody's name or anything. But at the exact same time, I am in the privileged position to be out, and I take full advantage of it because that's what the freedom allows. I'm like, hey, I've had the conversations with my parents. My father didn't like it for a long time, and my father still doesn't like it. But I'm like, my father has been out of my life. I'm like, you've been not in the picture since I was 1 year old. So like, I only told him about it, honestly, this year. My father's one of the last people to know. And I just sent it to him in a text. And he, like, we had 4 or 5 months of not speaking, and he slandered me and was like, oh my goodness, you're a disgrace to the family. And I'm like, how am I a disgrace to the family when I'm professionally, consensually, honestly doing sex work where I'm healing people? I've got 2 awards in my industry. I'm recognized nationally and in North America for beautiful art and positive erotica that I've made. And you were divorced by a woman because you beat her and were kicked out of the country because you did crime so bad. How are you calling me the problem? And I'm like, I'm 43 years old when I'm saying this, but I'm like, even if I was 19 or 21 and then just legal to do sex work, I would still say I'm proud of what I'm doing, and I will not accept slander from my father or my family or society. But I know a lot of other people, if that's your situation and you just don't have that freedom, or you have to keep it private for the sake of your job because you might, you know, get your life messed up like Paulo or whatever, like, I respect that, and I never will out people. But I am, at the same time, I'm like, I'm out, and I think we should live in a world where a man, a woman, any person should be able to show their body nudely in a lot of places, not everywhere. I'm like, I'm not trying to show a bunch of kids nude. I'm like, I know there's time and place for everything. Like, I'm not, whatever. But I'm like, at the same time, like, so many kids understand ideas way beyond what parents think they understand. And kids are like, yo, why are you making a big deal of nudity? Parents are tripped out about nudity way more than children are. But, you know, that's, there's a difference between nudity and sexuality, and I'm very aware of that. And I don't think that, like, a fucking scene is appropriate for, like, a six-year-old kid to watch just at regular. But, like, if right. a child does see sex, you just explain it to them, but you just don't make it wrong and taboo. Like, there's ways to make it all healthy, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. And sexuality, like you said, there's a time and place for everything, of course. And yeah. nudity definitely... in my opinion, should be a lot more normalized, and because yeah. we are all nude. I mean, under this shirt, I'm nude. That's very normal. And so you obviously are showing yourself nude in a lot of places, and a lot of people have seen you nude, and that must take I guess most people would never even dare to even a little bit show themselves nude, especially online. That's can be a scary place for a lot of people. So right. how did it take a lot of courage for you to show yourself nude online and however you were working? Or did it kind of come natural?
I have to say it very much came natural to show myself nude online. Well, not even online, but just to transition. Because one, I'm a Leo. I'm very expressive. I'm an artist. I've always been artistic ever since I was young. And like one of the first things I knew how to draw was like a muscular body of like Superman or Spider-Man or, you know, Batman. So like I liked the figure. One of the terms that I use in porn, not many people use this term, but I use the term sexual athlete because I very much look at porn sometimes as like a wonderful tag team. And when it's just like a two-person scene, it's like, yeah, it's like a tag team duo between two people exerting their bodies in a very strenuous, exercised way. So I think the body is a wonderful piece of art that like my love of art and visual art and, you know, Renaissance era, you know, Venus de Milo and friggin' beauty, like that translates directly into porn, obviously. Like, I appreciate male bodies, female bodies, androgynous bodies. I think the body is a wonderful sculpture. Mm. I've been a actual male model for other sculptures. So I like musculature. I like flesh. I like fat. And I think it's beautiful. So I don't think that it should be restricted or you know, it shouldn't be hidden from everybody and taught, oh, nudity is so wrong, oh my god, a nipple, oh my god, mm-hmm. like it's ridiculous. But you know, there's times and places for yeah. certain types of nudity. I agree. And the one part I did want to add, for it got easy for me not only because I used to draw a lot and I love the body, but my performance as a hip hopper, like I've been performing on stage for like 20 years as a rapper, and I've got a very expressive show. Sometimes I get really sweaty, so I take my shirt off, and I've been on lots of stages, like just only in like jogging pants and just like sweating in front of 300 people singing songs. So like that kind of, I mean, it's not definitely not the same transitioning to a porn scene where you're in front of 3 to 5, maybe 10 people sometimes, and your dick is out and you're kind of expected to get erect or like, there's a difference.
Right, of course.
But there is still a crossover. Like they do bleed into each other.
I do understand. And looking at the time, I know we've run out. I can continue. I have time.
I have time. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, perfect. Because I think we're having too good of a conversation to end it.
Yeah, too, man. I'm totally digging it. I appreciate it. And like, yeah, man. I have as much time as you need. We can do another hour.
Awesome. Well, so what I wanted to say is, I, like I mentioned in the very beginning, I'm a creative individual. I've done a lot of things, and one of the things I've done is I used to paint a lot, and specifically portraits, and some were mainly face portraits. For a time, during a specific time, I mostly did nude women portraits and paintings.
Amazing.
And yeah, and I love it. There's something special about it. There's something special about the body, as you say, and it fascinates me as an individual. And it's definitely nothing sexual about it. However, me, because I post everything I do online. I love showing what I do, regardless of what it is, and. I mean, I'm supported by my friends, family, and so on and so on. But there's definitely been these tiny comments of people saying, "Oh, so why do you only draw women?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. It fascinates me, I guess. It's fun." I just want to paint women. That's okay. Like, why do you want to? What do you do? What do you do? I guess it's a weird. Why do these people question what I paint just because it happens to be nude women? And for social media, of course, I have to censor specific parts. Otherwise, my accounts are gonna be deleted. That's just the rules that are in place. But. It's so funny how people judge what a person does just because that there contains nudity in it, or that the sexuality comes into play, and or at least that people connect it to sexuality and makes it something that it may not specifically necessarily have to be. And I'm going into a corner here. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I can honestly, I'll just take the baton from you, brother, because I'm so happy you say that, because I have the same, I have the same fascination. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, Ron Jeremy, who is a horrible person now, very horrible person now, but I think, if I remember correctly, his very first porn movie that came out in 1978 was called Fascination. And I often return to that word, and that's a word that I very much hold dear, because I 1,000,000% understand exactly what you talk about when you talk about the appreciation of the female form, the woman body. Like, I love the woman body on every aspect of that I can even imagine appreciation of an external form, period. To get super controversial, this is just my personal interpretation. I think the woman body is the most complete human body. I think it is. I'm like, we are mammals. We are like, the woman is the original human and the male is the secondary human to me. I don't mean that. I don't take that inferiorly. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like the moon is smaller than the sun, but like, that doesn't mean the moon is irrelevant in space. Like, everything matters. Like, a fucking ant matters as much as an elephant. So like, everything has its place in time. I love women. I think women are the most beautiful thing to exist. In everything that I see with my eyes, I can appreciate a Corvette. I can appreciate a jet fighter plane. I can appreciate an ocean, an abstract painting. I can appreciate the curve of an Apple computer. I can appreciate art in any shape or form, but I think the most beautiful shapes ever are the shapes that I see in women, period. And I constantly think that. And I'm like, I see some men that are beautiful, but like, I don't see the same fascination. I don't see the same angles. I think a perfect male body is a great thing, but I'm like, a woman's body that is just has different curves and things just is the most fascinating thing I have ever in the world. This is why I say I'm doing porn for the rest of my life. I paint pictures, I draw pictures, I've been a life model, like I love it all. And anybody to question me, I'm like, I don't even understand your brain. That like, I can understand that you don't have the same love as I do, but like, I don't understand how you don't see any beauty, or like, you don't understand how I see beauty in the grandness of the goddess female form. Like, it's a fucking mystery to me, man. But like,
yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. And there's people, and especially women, when they show their bodies, when they expose certain parts, when it's more still safe for work, but more there's more skin showing, basically, get a lot of, or can get a lot of backlash, in especially in the media, for sometimes valid reasons, but some usually not. And
usually not.
Yeah, exactly. Usually not. Why do you think that is? Why does so many people hate on a person like you and me, a human being, showing their body? Because we, like I said earlier, we're all naked under our clothing. We're all the same. I mean, sure, there may be different shapes and forms and more fat, less fat, different hair, whatnot, and so on. But
if you don't, that's cool. That's what makes it all, that's what makes it eternally compelling. Like, fuck, if we were all like the same design, like, oh my God, we might as well stab our eyes out. We're like, there's no reason to look at each other. Like, we all just do. And it's like, yo, that's why we all have different voices. That's what makes humanity so wonderful. But to answer your question, like, I mean, there's different reasons. I mean, there's patriarchy, there's you know, I mean, there's the religious. I mean, some people don't take it all the way back to religion, but religion kind of informs a lot of society, a lot of the origins of the institutions in society. And a lot of people don't think all the way back to being like, oh, it's all Eve's fault. Eve got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And like, I'm not Christian like that, but I'm just saying we live in a world where Christianity is pretty much the biggest religion on the planet. So like in North America and Europe, a lot of the organizations, like, you know, it says on the money and the governments or whatever, there's no politician that can really get elected without respecting, or at least kind of, you know, I don't know how it is in Europe. I'm sure it's probably, I think, a little more open-minded. But here in North America, no politician can really get a lot of power without acknowledging or respecting certain religious fundamentals, even if they don't practice them. There's like a lot of hypocrisy around that. People are like, they want to sound Christian and look Christian, but not be Christian. It's like, you don't need to be called that. But anyway, the point of what I'm saying is like, the Eve story is blaming women. It's like Eve got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And like, there's a lot of men really are just like, women are the blame for this. Like, so many men, when they go on like killing rampages or whatever, like abusing a woman, a lot of the shit, the bullshit they do, they're like, oh, it's her fault. She was too sexy. She was talking too much. She was too this. She was too that. And it's like, fuck you, asshole. All she was doing was being a fucking human being and expressing freedom and thought. And I could go on, but that just ties into the hatred of sex and the judgment of bodies and just the limiting of female freedom.
Of course. And while most people like to think that they're so progressive in the way they're thinking, and like, oh, we need to normalize the body, and usually the conversation is about female bodies, and so we have to normalize the female body and so on and so on. But then at the same time, like, some kind of double moral, some double what is it called, hypocrisy? Yeah, hypocrisy. They also continue to hate on the, especially women that choose, for example, a path of sex work or porn or whatever it is, anything that is exposing in essence, the human being. And that's so ridiculous to me. And people debating about should pornography be banned? Is porn a bad thing? Is porn this horrible thing that should be eradicated from Earth? And they go like, yeah, for sure, definitely. Make it gone today, please. But then at the same time, they go, well, we have to normalize sexuality. We have to normalize the body. But please ban pornography. Right. And I'm like, please, no. That's not going to work.
And I've
spoken to people on the other end of things, specifically a porn addict, and he talked a lot about the topic of not necessarily banning pornography, but definitely regulating it and making it less accessible and making it a, from my understanding, I'm sure he would express it differently, but from my understanding, making porn a bad thing for young humans, young people. So I want to know your, because you're obviously in the field. So from an insider's point of view, what is your thought on pornography, and if it is it something that should be regulated?
One, it really can't be regulated. Two, it shouldn't be regulated. I mean, people should regulate their own behavior around it. Porn is like, it's like junk food. It can be like junk food, but it's like, what are we going to start regulating? Like, there's things that are much more detrimental to society that are very legal. Like, sugar is a real drug. Sugar is like a kind of cocaine, and the amount of damage that is done to human bodies by like the junk food, then people die, people whatever. Like, are we going to regulate sugar? No, they're not, because so much money is made off sugar, and there are so many things that are actual drugs. People are like, oh, you're addicted to porn. Like, there's coffee addiction, there's sugar addiction, there's junk food addiction, there's television addiction, there's fucking Facebook addiction, there's some other real tangible shit that causes real harm. I mean, besides basic alcohol and cigarette addiction, which are clearly, logically, scientifically, directly causing death. It's like actually provable, and it's like, this is still legal. So how are you going to make porn illegal when it's like, how, like, can you prove that porn is killing people? And you want to live in a society that allows cigarettes, but you want to make porn illegal? How is that even logical? If you think porn is a real problem, it possibly, like, what kind of porn are you watching? This is an industry that is more widespread and international than Hollywood and Bollywood and all these other multi-billion dollar industries combined. Like, what porn is wrong? And like, where is the line? Like, what about solo videos? But there's millions of people doing solo videos. How is that a bad thing? What if there's porn where people are not interacting with others? What about sacred sexuality porn? What about educational porn? What, like, how can you judge that wrong? Probably because you have a religious or conservative or judgmental perception of it, and you for some reason do not respect adult autonomy and consent, because the porn that you say is illegal or you're trying to make illegal, it's the government says it's legal. If there's a number, a 2257 form on the bottom of it, that means it's consent. That means the everybody in the video has shown up and has been safe, sane, and sober with two pieces of professional government ID saying, hey, on this day, I consent to doing this. This is an exchange of labor. I'm doing my time and I'm having sex for money. How come a Hollywood movie, like, what are you going to allow porn? like what Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, they could do porn, but somebody that's in Miami or Amsterdam or like San Fernando Valley, they can't do porn. What the fuck? So it's like it's impossible, and they've been saying since the beginning of time trying to ban porn, and it's never worked because like what are you going to take out? What is the Mona Lisa porn to somebody? Like, are you going to take out paintings? Are you going to take out books? Are you really like, how, where does it end? Like, is it just internet porn you're going to ban? Like, there's no logic.
No, exactly. The internet is not something that you can control, and porn being mainly on, I'm sure 99% is on internet, then you can't control it. And really, in my personal belief, I think it's porn potentially being a problem for certain individuals, like you say, is obviously not any different from it sugar being a problem, cocaine being a problem, or Facebook being a problem, or whatever it is. But in my personal belief, I think it starts in early childhood. In the education, because sexuality and the human body in general is not spoken about at all. And if it is, then it's a little, it's the talk from your parents, and maybe perhaps a quick course in your school. But apart from that, there is really nothing. And at the same time, what you're being taught in school is just, oh, here's the vagina, here's the penis, and this goes in that, and then there's this all other combinations too. And like, yeah, great, thank you, I know all about it now. And do you think there needs to be a lot more education around sexuality?
Brother, I'll put it like this. As I said two or three times, sexuality is a journey that I'll be exploring for the rest of my life. And you just nailed it. Like, they give you 1 year. Like, just I don't think you can get like multiple years of sex education in high school. I don't remember. I think it's just like an introductory 1 year, just like a basic course. And like, here's a banana. You roll the condom on it. You know. And they're like, all right, ladies, here's a pad, here's a tampon, whatever. It's like, all right, here's some basic things. It's just like safe sex, kids, and, you know, be good to each other, I guess, and like, don't hurt anybody, I guess, and good luck for the rest of your life. And it's like, like, set you out. I could do it, whether you're professional or not. Like, you hope that somebody, I mean, people are, they have the freedom to have sex until their very last day on earth. So, I mean, one thing I say is like, I'm a different person in my 40s than I was in my 30s, than I was in my 20s, than I was in the first 6 or 7 years when I lost my, from 13 to 20, when I had my first sexual experiences. And I mean, there's chapters of things that I learned in each decade. And I mean, a couple years ago, my nipples started getting more sensitive for the first time in my life. And I just, my body is growing and changing. And it's like, there's, every body can change in so many levels and so many ways. It's not like as soon as you get married, it's all over, throw the book out. You never have to explore anything sexually again. And like, you just retire your genitals, or you just like set into cruise control and it's and you learn everything and it's just everything's going to be automatic pleasure. No, it's constant mystery, discovery, learning, growing, losing, heartbreaks, shocking, like chapter after chapter after chapter after, you just don't know. So there constantly needs to be sexual education is obviously like the short answer, but like, it's the thing that nobody wants to admit. And like, the last thing I kept saying is like, it's just the willingness thing. If you don't want to explore your sexuality and want to like be like, hey, I'm the exact same sexual person I was in university or college, and I never really want to push past that, and that's just me for the rest of my life, you can do that. Or you can expand your sexual experiences and education so many times where you just can't imagine how far it takes you. I'll just end off saying, like, I'm in year 8, but 2 years ago I was at a sex conference meeting some heroes from Chicago, and they were like, yeah, we're celebrating our 25th year in porn, and this is our first time in Toronto, and we're doing things that we've never done before. And I'm like, 25 years in the sex industry, like, how many stories, how many, and just like being like, this is the middle of my career. That could be 50 years of sex.
And it's about the freedom to explore that, and the freedom to explore these things. And I mean, to my parents and friends listening to this, close your ears. But like, I'm only 21 years old, and I haven't had many experiences at all with different people. But ever since I met my current girlfriend 2 years ago, we've explored a lot. And I'm exposing myself very much here. I'm getting very warm.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Don't worry. It feels good out here.
Me 2 years ago, sexually, was a completely different person than I am today. and it makes me laugh saying it, but it's very true, and it's a good thing, and it's a good kind of growth.
So think about yourself right now, and then extrapolate 4 years ahead, and then kind of imagine you looking back on yourself today. And right. you'll probably laugh at yourself being like, wow, you know, it's kind of funny when I was like shy about this, because I've grown to a higher level or a different level.
Yeah, I'm sure anyone or most people listening to this would never ever publicly say anything like that. Maybe perhaps to your closest friends, but this is going to be broadcasted online and for everyone and anyone to listen to and hear.
Yes.
And that's what's needed. That's really what's needed. I'm not entirely comfortable doing it myself, but I just did it.
But brother, I mean, I want to explore that. And I just think, why do we fear love? Why do we fear beauty? Why do we fear truth? Because I think, okay, a regular family, a husband, traditional relationship, assuming under, I don't even know what the reality is, assuming that nature fundamentally makes a heterosexual relationship the majority relationship in life. Not everybody is man, woman, but average man, average woman, average love relationship. If they have a healthy, happy connection and they kiss, they hug, they fuck, They cuddle, they fall asleep, they fart, they have baths together, they cook together. If they do things together, why should they have a problem talking about it? What is there to be ashamed about two human beings loving each other? How far have we fallen from healthy connection to have a problem with two people who want to kiss, who want to love, who want to do that with each other? Like, there's no logical reason for it. It's there are these like subtle, snide, cynical, like, oh, like some people are like, oh, we're too good to like sacrifice our egos to admit that we need intimacy. We're too cool. Oh, we're too busy. I'm too famous. I don't need anybody like that. They need me. I don't need them. Or like, you know, I'm too busy. I'm flying around, or I'm getting money, or I'm like, what the fuck is going on in your life where you can't be happy to receive healthy intimacy? And if it is healthy, honest, consensual intimacy, nobody's cheating on each other, there's no rape, there's no abuse, there's no harm, there's no manipulation, why would it need to be hidden? Why? Like, there's no, I don't see any logical reason. Like, Like, and it's just like, all right, if you don't want to see it, you don't have to look at it. Like, which is the get a room joke. It's like, all right, if somebody, all right, you, maybe people fucking in a park is like too much. Be like, all right, that's beautiful. But like, you know, there's kids out here, don't fuck in the park. Right. But it's like, there's no need to be ashamed of passion, love, beauty. And like, I saw an ad once and it was the most, it's profound. It said, imagine having nothing to hide. It was an advertisement for makeup, but I applied it to sexuality. I'm like, imagine having nothing to hide. I'm like, I have never raped anybody. I've never abused anybody. I literally want to go to my father was abusive. So I'm like, I want my life. Even if I never become a multi-platinum artist, a big famous rap star, I'm like, I at least want as a sexual being to not ever have abused or hurt any of my partners. I want these hands to have never hurt anybody. So I'm like, if anybody asks me any questions, I'm like, I have nothing to hide. I made love to that person. Yes. The only thing I would hide it about is if they didn't want it to be known. But if like, I'm like, the porn scenes we do, it's public art. It's material. I'm like, I made love to that person. Yeah, sure. What's wrong with it? That's what we did that day. What did you do that day? Eat food? Masturbate? Like, whatever. Like, did you make love to somebody and hide it? If you can tell me, because I'm not going to judge you for it, I will cheer you. So, like, I really want to, like, I'll end off this saying, like, it's a really long journey to get to the point where you really look at sexuality is like, there's no reason logically for me to be ashamed of anything. So we can talk about anything, any of my porn scenes, any of my private lovers that are allowed to be talked about publicly. I have nothing to hide, but like, if you don't want to talk about it, fine, you can ask me, but like, I will not judge you if you talk about you personally or any other human. I'll be like, I'm happy for you. I have compassion for your pleasure.
Right. And you saying making love, I've been thinking of this question the whole conversation, but what does love mean to you? It's a very big question, I know. But
yeah, I won't go into I can talk 9 hours on that, but I'll try to keep it quick. Like, so I say love when I talk about my porn is because love to me is a concept where you put in everything you can at the moment. It's like mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, sexual, creative. There's like, you put your whole being into love. Like, when you love your family or your mother, love a child, it's like, I'll give you everything. Whatever it takes, whatever you need for happiness and health and growth. So, like, when I do my porn, I put in all of me, like all my mind, my body, my soul. Same way, like, when I love to doing my rap, like when I perform on stage, I'm sweating, I give it my all 100%. So when I say love in the context of sexuality, it generally means like the kind of Holy Trinity. It can be love, like lovemaking in the romantic sense, like slow and sensual, or it can be like sex in the regular sense of just, you know, functional intercourse, fucking, and or it could be like hard fucking. So it's like romantic, regular, or hardcore, passionate, and like, and they can all blur all over each other. Like sometimes it's slow and sensual, sometimes it's hard and aggressive, but it's all kind of one in the same.
Right. So there's a lot of nuance to it, I guess.
Yes, for sure. It depends on the moment and depends on the person. Like, some people it's more loving and romantic passion. Some people it's more exploring whatever.
And yeah.
Sometimes it's about a bunch of both.
Right. And I feel like there's no end to where a conversation can lead. But looking at the time, I think it's time to sort of close the bag a bit.
Yeah, sure. We can. I love being here. And you have a one last question?
Yes.
Final? Yeah,
I do. Like I mentioned in the beginning, the very first minutes, when I mentioned to my mom that I was going to speak with you, her initial reaction was, oh, that's going to be so interesting to speak with her, like I said. Yeah. And so there's a lot of prejudice and there's a lot of judgment and so on and so on. But so from your perspective, what do you say to the masses and to people, without calling out my mom, but what do you say to people like my mom? what do you say to these people about,
Well, I could say, hello, my name is Malcolm Lovejoy. I'm a Jamaican Canadian porn star, musician, journalist, activist, cat lover, comic book lover, interesting human being that lives in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I'm a real person. I'm a three-dimensional human being. I very much care about justice. I care about women's rights. I care about Indigenous rights, Black rights, poor people's rights, human rights. And I do porn. I draw. I write. I dance. I'm a real person, and I do this for money sometimes. I do it for fun and for love sometimes. I do it as a sport. I do it as an art. I do it as a political statement. I do it as an artistic statement. Sexuality encompasses everything in life for me, and I don't push this on anybody, but I privately and professionally find people who have the same philosophy as me, and 8 years into this, I'm still making art and money and work from it. It's valid, it's legal, it's consensual, and my mom knows about it. My mom has been in documentaries with me about my porn. My family knows about it. I don't have any shame, and there's millions of people out there like me. I may be the first one you've met. You 1,000,000% have crossed paths with a person who is doing sex work in your close life. One of your coworkers, one of your family members, probably one of somebody that you're friends with for a long time, one of the people that you went to college or university with, they do sex work, but they never told you about it. I guarantee this for everybody who hears my voice. There's somebody in your life that does sex work that you don't know about. But if they feel like you're safe and respectable enough for you not to judge them about it and still keep the exact same relationship you have, maybe they will share it with you. Maybe they will never trust you. But that being said, like, we're out here. We've always been out here. One of the last statistics I'll drop is, regardless of conservative or liberal or East or West or Muslim or Christian or Buddhist or whatever, it's been said that almost every society in the history of humanity, at least 10 to 12% of the people in that society at every single point in time were doing sex work. Arab, white, Black, Asian, whatever, at all times, there's always some people in society that believe in sex work as a philosophy, a job, freedom, a choice, and a practice. So whether you know about it, whether you care about it, whether you respect it, whether you acknowledge it or not, it's always going to be there. So hopefully you can respect it and learn from it, maybe have fun with it. If not, peace and love.
Oh yeah, I love the way you put that. You really took it down to earth, and I think a lot of people, despite their beliefs, I think the way you put that may at least open some people's minds. And yeah, you put it very well, I think.
I really appreciate you having a wonderful questions and being honest and just giving me the space to say it, because as I say, every single word is my truth, and that's who I am. I'm just one person out here doing sex work. And like, even in the sex work industry, like there's not a lot of people with my own philosophy, but that's just everything. Like, whether you're doing movies, film, photography, whatever, you have your own vision, that's what you're bringing into it. So
right, Yeah.
And yeah. So man, brother, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you again at any point in time for any reason.
Truly, yeah, I have to say a huge thank you for the conversation we have had.